an account of sin and grace. Sin and grace, poles apart. Sin, man, grace, God. Sin, bondage, grace, freedom. Explorers have measured mountains, fathomed the depths of seas, deserts, and kings, soared in their ships to heaven, and traced fountains. But they're two vast, unmeasured things, the which to measure we should embrace, yet so very, very few understand sin and grace. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her sins, her abomination, her iniquities. One of the great preachers of the past said, no man living has ever exaggerated his own sins or thought too lowly of himself. There does not live beneath heaven one man or one woman whose understanding and sense of sin is as deep as sin really is. You and I are 10,000 times worse in God's sight than we can even imagine that we are. When a man or woman feels himself defiled, depraved, lost, utterly separated from God Almighty by birth, by nature, by choice, by practice, driven to despair, he is somewhere near the truth of the evil of his sins. My friends, the importance of knowing the depth of sin, the importance of having some understanding of what God says about sin, the importance of knowing the depth of our iniquity is that when a man is made to be a little sinner, he'll usually wind up with a little Savior. When a man thinks himself to be a little sinner, he invariably embraces a little gospel. But a great sinner needs a great Savior. A great sinner needs infinite grace, free grace, saving grace, effectual grace, persevering grace. Verse 3 in our text says, and say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, your birth, your beginning, your nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, thy mother was a Hittite, both heathen, pagans who knew not God. And as for their nativity, thy nativity, in the day you were born, your navel was not cut nor tied. They didn't wash you, left you in your afterbirth. They didn't supple you, didn't care for you, didn't want you. You weren't salty at all, nor swaddled, nor embraced. No one to care for you or help you. Nobody pitied you to do any of these things to you, to have compassion upon you, but you were cast out into the open field to the loathing of your person in the day you were born. This is a picture of our beginning, sons of Adam and Eve. We were born of sinful parents. Scripture says, in sin my mother conceived me. I was shapen in iniquity. I was brought forth speaking lies. I was estranged from the womb. We didn't come into this world as those who might stand or fall. We came into this world as those who were already fallen. By one man, sin entered this world, and death by sin. And so death and sin and darkness and disease passed upon all men. Our ruin was total. We were cast out. That's what it says. Cast out into the open field. Our inability was total. Without help, Paul said, without hope, without God in this world. None I pitied thee. No outside help from any quarter. The law has to condemn us. Holiness is offended. Truth must testify against us. Justice must prepare the sword. You were cast out to the loathing of your person, my person. The infant is not a pleasant sight. It's a terrible sight. Unwanted, unwashed, hopeless, helpless, loathsome. God uses the word loathsome. And we are not a pleasant sight in God's eyes. We justify ourselves. We clean up the outside, but God doesn't look on the outside. God looks on the heart. And what he sees is our righteousness is filthy rags. And from the sole of our feet to the top of our heads, no soundness. In us. Nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying, loathsome sores. The whole heart is faint. The mind is sick. Men think lightly of sin, but God describes it as loathsome, an abomination. And there in the open field, left alone, unwanted, unwashed, uncared for, loathsome, this baby lies. And the lion begins to stalk. That's Satan, the roaring lion. The vultures, demons circle overhead. Worms begin to crawl toward that deserted body. Insects descend upon it. What a terrible sight. But Romans 7 verse 13 says that sin, by the word of God, might be shown to be exceeding sinful. That sin, by the word of God, might be shown to be what it is. Exceeding, immeasurable sinfulness of sin. Well, the next word is grace. And I can't begin to fathom the depth of sin. Could I ever reach the top of the Everest of grace? But he says, when I passed by you, We didn't come where he is. He came where we are. When I passed by you, you were not even mindful of me. But I was mindful of you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I passed by you. I came where you are. And I saw you. I saw you. How did I see you? I saw you polluted in your own blood. The ugliness of this infant is in its own condition. The ugliness of this infant is not what his parents did. That was ugly. But he's ugly in himself. The ugliness of this infant is in his own blood, his own condition, his own putrefaction. And that's our ugliness. And we go to the counselors and they comfort us and tell us we're beautiful. Somebody else was ugly. And that's the reason we're in bad shape, if somebody else was ugly. We're in bad shape because we're ugly. I saw you polluted in your blood, many times worse than you think. Polluted in your sin and your shame and your ugliness. And I said to you, when you were in your blood, I said to you, live. Live! Our Lord stood outside the grave of Lazarus and told him to roll away the stone. And Martha said, Lord, don't do that. Don't roll away the stone. He smells. He's been dead 4 days and he stinks. He stinks. Lazarus is dead, but I said live. Lazarus stinks, but I said live. You were polluted in your blood, and I said live. Our Lord passed by us, not by chance. Chance had nothing to do with it. Purpose. Knowing where we were, he came by us in the ministry of the Word one Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He came by us in the ministry of the Word. He saw us. Sees us as we are. He looks upon us in our sinfulness. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, commended his love toward us. Christ died for us. He saw us. He said, I saw you. But not merely with the eye of omniscience, the eye of scorn and judgment, but an eye of mercy and grace. And he said, live. He speaks life into us. He quickens us by his word, by his spirit. And death gives way to life. Darkness gives way to light. Inability becomes strength. Blindness, sight. Deafness, hearing. Pollution. Holiness. In verse 8, he said, I passed by you. I did. I looked on you. I looked upon you. And thy time was the time of love. He loved us from the foundation of the world. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. But there was a set time. There was a time for the manifestation of that love. And he said, this was the time. When I passed by you, I came in contact with you and saw you in your blood. It was your time. Time of love. Our Lord was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, but in the fullness of time, he sent forth his Son into the world. In the fullness of time, Mine hour is not yet come. Now, Father, the hour is come. The fullness of time. It's time. Redemption is an everlasting covenant. But it's time to redeem. And there's a set time for the calling and salvation and revelation of Christ to God's elect. We're called according to His purpose, not chance, purpose. And the Lord said of this infant, I pass by you. I pass by you. I passed by the woman at the well. It was her time, the time of love. I passed by the eunuch. It was his time, the time of love. I passed by you. It's your time, the time of love. Time to manifest my love. Time to reveal my love. He loves us from eternity, but His love is manifested in time. His love in Christ for them is revealed to them first time they've heard of it. His love, or the ability to love, is shed abroad in their hearts first time they've been able to really love anybody besides themselves. The grace of love to God, to Christ, to His Word, to His people, to worship, which they despise, to ordinances, which before the time of love had no place in them. My Word has no place in you. But the time of love, it takes up its abode in you. I passed by you and I said, live. And when I passed by you and saw you polluted in your blood and said, live, it was your time of love. Nobody can do that but Him. And then He said, I spread my skirt over you. I covered your ugliness. I covered your nakedness. Could this be talking about what Isaiah said in Isaiah 61, verse 10? I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of His righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. That's speaking of Christ and His church. His garment of righteousness covers our nakedness, which our fig leaves could never do. And being clothed, we shall not be found naked. It's the time. It's your time. And more than that, I swear unto you. I swear by myself. I can swear by no greater. And I entered a covenant with you, saith the Lord God, and you became mine. We were chosen in Christ, we read a moment ago, from eternity. But that covenant is manifested at our calling. When the Lord makes known Himself to us as the covenant God. When the Lord reveals to us Christ, our priest, our mediator, our advocate. When the Lord sends His Spirit into our hearts to make us partakers of His grace. When the Lord seals us in the blessed promises of His Word and we become His, actually, in covenant theology and covenant promises and covenant grace have always been His. But now I am His. Time of love. I reckon the dear wife sitting beside you in God's covenant has always been your wife. In God's purpose. But there was a day she became yours. She knew it, and you knew it, and you entered into the experience of love. And that's what He's talking about here. When I pass by you, I came to you. You didn't come to me. I came to you. You turned that around at your destruction. But I came to you. And I said to you, Leo, and it was your time of love. And I put my skirt over you, covered your nakedness, and I swear unto you and entered a covenant with you, and you became mine. And you'll never cease to be mine. You'll never leave me. To whom shall we go? I'll never leave you. Read on. And I washed you. I washed you. Verse 9, I thoroughly washed you with your blood. I anointed you with oil of the Holy Spirit. This washing is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. With his blood, men are washed and cleansed from all sin, thoroughly, inwardly, outwardly. Hereby a person is thoroughly washed, and no sin can be found in him, on him, about him. He's clean. Every whit, Christ said, clean. Every whit clean. In Christ there is no sin. There is no judgment. There is no condemnation. Clean. I washed you. I'm glad my mother didn't wash me so he could. So he could. Because she washed me again and again and again. And I kept having to be washed all over again. But he washed me. And I'm clean. I clothed you with the priest's garment. I clothed you with broidered work, shod your feet with badger skin, girded you about with fine linen, covered you with silk. You are a priest. I passed by you. I said, Leo, I spread my skirt over you. I swear unto you, I entered a covenant. I washed you and I clothed you. And listen, I decked you with ornaments, with gifts, with fruit, with works. I decked you. I put bracelets on your hands. I made your hands so beautiful. Put bracelets and rings. Made your hands so pretty. Our hands are the instruments of works and action. And what I have and the beauty of the work to share or to give or to perform is what he made my hands. I have nothing to give but what he gave me. I made your hands beautiful. Hands of service and work for my glory. Made them pretty. And I put a chain on your neck, round your neck a chain with many links. Those links were love and joy and peace, faith, gentleness, meekness, kindness, fruits of the Spirit. I displayed upon you and through you. And I put a jewel on your forehead. You know, you see these ladies from India and other places in airports. You always recognize whose they are and where they're from. Well, Revelation 14 says this. Let me read it to you. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. You became mine, and I let everybody else know you're mine. I wrote my name on your forehead. I put a jewel right there. And then I put earrings in your ears. I think earrings are beautiful. Don't need but one in each ear, though, believe me. You fellas don't need them either. But I fixed your ears so you could hear me. Your hands so you could give. Your neck so that you could live out the gifts, fruits of the Spirit. Your forehead prominently so you're known for whose ye are, and I fixed your ears so you could hear me. And then I put a crown beautiful on your head, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Revelation 3 says this, verse 10 and 11. Revelation 3, verse 10 says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Now you hold fast that which you have, that no man take your crown. You're the king's son, daughter. You're princess. You're prince. I give you a beautiful crown, a crown of righteousness. Verse 13, and thou wast decked with gold and silver, your raiment was of fine linen, silk, and broidered work, and you did eat fine flour and honey and all. And you were, what did I read while ago in Romans? It says, and the word, the commandment came that sin might appear to be exceeding sinful. That sin might be exceeding sinful, loathsome, abomination, polluted in your blood. And now, I have made you to be just the opposite, exceeding beautiful. What grace. That's, you talk about extremes. And you prospered in their kingdom, and your renown went forth among the heathen for your beauty. It was perfect. Perfect holiness. Not just put on. Exterior, veneer, professed holiness. You were really holy. Perfect. Through my comeliness, which I put upon you. My work, not yours. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I put upon you, saith the Lord. John Newton wrote about this scripture in a hymn. Oh, 'twas grace beyond all measure when he did bid such sinners live. Laid aside his just displeasure and determined them to forgive. Now may the Lord reveal his face and teach our stammering tongues to make his sovereign reigning grace the subject of our song. Grace reigns to pardon loathsome sins, to melt the hardest heart. And from the work that grace begins, grace will never depart. 'Twas grace that called our souls at first. By grace thus far we've come. And his grace will take us through the worst. His grace will lead us home. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I was lost. Now I'm found. I was exceeding sinful. Now I'm exceeding beautiful. Isn't that something?